Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Two Sticks Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the official podcast of TwoSticks.com, Trapped Inside the Asian Mind. Today's podcast is going to be an interesting one. I just want to warn you ahead of time that if you're not into nerd stuff, this podcast isn't for you. And maybe you should invest more time in the crosstown traffic. I'll let you Urban Dictionary that one, kids. Anyway, as always, I'm one of your hosts, Michael Cho. I am also joined by regulars Mr. Kihan.
Yo.
And Ms. June Park.
Hello.
And today we have special guests Mr. Jeff Lowe.
Hello.
And Mr. Joe Reyes.
Hello. How's it going?
Both these gentlemen are Two Sticks veterans and Two Sticks legends in many senses.
We have a full house.
Yeah, we do, which is good. We're one big happy family. Anyway, today's topic is the Nerdcast, which basically we're going to talk about all sorts of nerdy shit. But before we do, we're going to go around, see what people are up to, and see what their loves are this week. We will start off with the guests. With Joe, what is your love this week?
I just bought Gran Turismo for the PSP, and I've been on that thing all day long. It kind of sucks, but it's okay.
Why does it suck, dude?
It feels like another really big epilogue or prologue.
What does
there's
that
no,
mean?
There's no... Well, Gran Turismo 5 was supposed to come out for the PS3 like such a long time ago, and it keeps on getting pushed back, kind of like StarCraft 2. And then they're just releasing more and more like sub-releases of the game.
Well, Gran Turismo 5, I think, is supposed to come out in March
in Japan. Already?
Yeah.
Oh.
So that date's been set. Mr. Jeff Lowe, what is your love this week?
My mom's visiting from Taiwan, and I've been eating a lot of Chinese food, so that's really good.
Oh, my God. What? Oh my God.
What? Miss June Park has something to say.
No, nothing.
Okay, what's your love this week?
I went to Beverly Hills on Saturday and I got my nails done. They look fucking bomb.
They look like carbuncles.
What are carbuncles?
They look like barnacles on a ship.
What the fuck are carbuncles?
They look like barnacles.
There's no such thing as a
barnacles?
Carbuncle. Yeah, barnacles. Like on the side of a ship.
Oh, okay.
It's like... Like really pictury and stuff?
Yeah,
It's on my Facebook. Go check it out.
Okay.
Did you get a fake nail?
No, it's my nail. Huh. They just put like a bunch of shit on it.
Like what sort of shit?
Go look at my face.
Like abalone or something?
But then they're like...
It's a flower.
Bumpy to the touch.
Oh.
You feel foreign, like it's not supposed to be there.
You feel foreign.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
What
it's like glitter and shit.
Yeah.
What is the appeal of that? What is the appeal of all this shit that girls put on their nails?
It looks cool.
Like, are you going to get a weave, June?
I don't think my hair would support that.
Okay, I just figured that was the next logical step.
I mean, I usually see these like black girls with like sparkly shit and flowers.
No,
and
this
like,
is actually a Japanese thing. This is a Japanese nail art.
Oh, okay.
But the black women.
Yeah, the black women have like palm trees and stuff under.
But there's
their nails are like 3 inches long.
But there's no tentacles on your fingernails.
And they gotta use like pencils to dial the phone and.
Ooh, I see it now on your Facebook. Ooh, look like.
Look at the ones on the thumb.
It looked like Goldschlager.
What?
I remember the first time I had Goldschlager, Jeff was there. And it was at what was that restaurant in Pasadena? Some happy hour place. And I didn't know there was gonna be like gold flakes in it. So right when we were about to take a shot, I saw the gold flakes and I'm like, oh man, there's shit in mine. I thought it was like dirty.
Yeah, the June's nails look like I'm staring into a bottle of Goldschlager.
Yeah.
Bling bling.
I don't know.
Is it the same on both hands?
Yeah, there's both my pictures. Both hands are on there. Pictures go it, back yeah, one.
It would be it's totally like, awesome if other finger was like silver. That'd be awesome.
Do you feel like I'll a really fabulous lady Deathstrike?
Yeah, I do. I don't know who that is.
Oh, that's an indication of how nerdy this podcast is about to get.
Or, you know what I think? Her nails look like she just came back from a beach and didn't clean out her nails.
Oh, that's gross.
Like she got sand, like she got sand stuck underneath her nails.
Well, I think they're a little better than Black Lady nails, because at least these are my nails. Mm. They're not fake.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Key, right. What's your love this week?
What's my love this week? I don't know about this week, but I'm glad the Yankees lost today. I can't stand those freaking Yankees, man. I hate like sports teams that buy championships. So not fair.
What's another one that's like that?
I don't know.
Lakers?
Arsenal? Lakers? No, not Arsenal. Chelsea.
Huh?
Oh. What? You know, I don't know about Chelsea because my Chelsea team on FIFA is all of my dodgeball friends.
Yeah, it's kind of like that where they're all like the guy Abramoff just goes out, he buys players. So they're like the Yankees. They're like
all right. What's your love, Mike?
My love this week is I got basketball tickets next week to go check out the Bulls versus the Nuggets. It's sweet. The Nuggets only trip to Chicago, so I'm pretty psyched about that.
And of course, Nuggets are going to win.
Yeah, because the Bulls aren't that good this year. I mean, I'm not impressed with how they've been playing so far.
Yep.
And the Nuggets are averaging like 114 points a game.
Yeah.
Well, a lot.
Carmelo's going off, man.
Yeah, he is. He is. I think it's because he shaved his rose last year. He's really
more aerodynamic.
Yeah. They were holding him back.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so we're just going to jump into the topic. The topic this week is basically the Nerdcast, and I've assembled a all-star nerd force for this podcast, and June is going to probably be the voice of reason and sanity, even though June is kind of nerdy for a girl. We had two of our other nerds drop out at the last minute, so I'm sure we've sufficiently kind of made up for any lack of nerdiness with the people here. So, first topic, would you consider yourself a nerd or a geek?
Hey, isn't a geek the person who bites the heads off of animals during concerts, like Ozzy Osbourne?
Well, a geek is someone who bites the heads off of chickens at circus sideshows. That's the origin of the word.
Yeah, I don't do that. I think I'd go more on the nerd side.
Okay.
I don't bite the head of chickens, but I would consider myself a geek. Because geek sounds like, to me anyway, like someone who's more intelligent than a nerd. Nerd just sounds like a loser in high school.
Which one is more hardcore about their nerdiness?
I think nerdiness in different aspect. I think geek is more like technology side, and nerd is more like playing magic kind of nerdiness.
All right, I'm a nerd.
Like when I think of like a school geek or something like that, it's more of like they're really, really into something. It doesn't matter what it is,
yeah.
But they're like super into it.
Okay.
Then I would classify them as a geek.
But nerd is what?
You know?
June is a nerd.
I don't know.
She is.
What? June, were you good at school?
Yes.
Nerd.
What? Just like that.
Judgment is harsh and swift on the Two-Stick podcast.
How about you, Mike? No. What would you consider yourself as?
I'm definitely a geek.
Geek? How do you distinguish one from another?
I'm in the same book as Joe. I think a geek is somebody that's just really enthusiastic about a particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think a nerd is more kind of a book knowledge kind of person. Like, nerds read Proust. Geeks read Zombie Survival Guide.
Mm. Okay, I'm a geek then. I'm changing over.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a bad thing. Nerds are necessary. They're the ones that cure cancer. Geeks make movies like J.J. Abrams and Josh Whedon.
So, how about, like, everyone explain your reasoning behind why you think you're either a nerd or a geek? Joe?
Yeah, I think I'm with Jeff. I switched over, too. Even though I don't bite chickens and stuff. But, yeah. Now that I think about it, like, photo geek, photo tech stuff.
Uh-huh.
Everything that I buy now, everything that, like, I'm really into is all going towards, like, the business. And it's stuff I'd be buying for myself anyway. I just kind of figured out a way to make money off of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeff?
I think the difference for me is when I'm into something, I usually do it, like, all the way. Like, start reading about it, go to conventions. And I think that's a very geeky thing to do. Like whatever I happen to get into at the time.
What are you into right now?
Still playing Street Fighter 4. Poker's a thing for me like that too. And
how's your Subaru?
Oh, I have a different car now, but that's what it was for cars too. Like, you know, I started off being like a ricer, just buying random spoilers or whatever. But then slowly as I got more into it, like start going to like track events, performance driving schools, things like that. And that's pretty geeky.
So are you a normal racer? I mean,
it sounds cool, but it's just a bunch of geeks.
Are you still a racer?
No, slowly it kind of goes away. And you just care about
I mean, what?
So you care about driving better.
I see.
I mean, there's a difference between... There's a difference between putting a spoiler on a Civic and then being, like, somebody that goes and does autocross.
Yeah.
You know, it could be in the exact same car, but I think it's a mentality that's kind of different.
Like, you don't think of the Mazda Miata as a hairdresser's car anymore.
For sure.
Okay, for the non-car geeky, Mazda Miata is one of the best handling cars ever made. I mean, you put that thing on a skid pad, just balls out. It will compete with anything, and it's very fun to drive. I mean, that and the Mini Cooper are probably the two best small cars handling out there. So
yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I went to
people,
a
people
Mazda.
Think of them as cool cars, but they're not. They're totally not.
I think it kind of also goes with kind of with your age. As you mature, you care more about the getting more higher quality stuff, more so than taking a piece of crap and fixing it up.
No, dude, I still want an 85 Corolla.
So do I.
I don't.
Yeah, it's not on my list of stuff to get either.
Nor I.
Yeah, I think Jay-Z said something like, you know, he's old enough or mature enough to know not to put a rim on his cars or something. I think there's a lyric in one of his songs. Yeah, I think that pretty much explains it.
Jay-Z doesn't know about deep dish rims on the AE86.
Obviously, I don't either.
Missing out.
Yeah, I think I'm.
So, Key, are you a geek or a nerd?
I think I'm a geek. I always kind of picture nerd as in someone like who's not. I guess I kind of picture socially not well adjusted person when I picture nerds, like kind of kids who get like beat up and get locked up in a in a locker in high school. But the geeks, I feel like they're more like kids that are really, like Joe or you said, that are really into something and they're really good at whatever it is. You know, like when I think of geeks, I think of like computer nerds, and I think of, you know, someone who's like all about photography or
yes,
gambling or whatever it is, you know. So I feel like I'm pretty socially adjusted enough where I don't get beat up and get locked up in a closet or in a locker, and I'm pretty good at whatever that I do. So I think that's my reasoning behind thinking that I'm a geek.
I would have reasoned that you were probably a nerd until you shaved off that mustache you had.
I think that mustache made me more of a fob, not a nerd. So, but I do agree that mustache was just really a bad idea.
I am a geek, but I'm a wonk, which is kind of a subset of nerd. Which,
what?
A wonk? A wonk is like a politics nerd.
Oh.
What'd that mean?
I never heard that before.
Like, yeah. Oh, I watched C-SPAN, like, today.
Oh, God.
I came home from work, and I watched C-SPAN, and Joe Wilson, he's a Republican congressman from South Carolina, was in Congress going, you know, he was blaming Obama for the lack of the lack of supply of flu vaccines, you know, for the swine flu. And immediately I went to the Congressional Record and I was like, motherfucker, you voted against vaccine funding. Like, I just knew that. That's... And
you're one of those. I have people like you, like in my classes in high school, like who are always talking about Jon Stewart and politics stuff. I don't even know anything about it. I can't even like name names of politicians.
Yeah, I can probably identify most of our senators and congressmen based on like their photos.
Oh my God! Wow. So boring.
Like, I try to watch Colbert Report and also Daily Show once in a while if the picture on Hulu's funny. And then I think that's about as far as I go with like politics.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, no, I mean, being a wonk is a very specialized kind of...
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm not gonna go more into it just because it appears to be physically revolting to June. So, you're a nerd, but do you think that you have some geekish tendencies?
I think, like, in my high school, because before high school, I don't really think I was either one, but before, once high school came around, I got placed into, like, I mean, I'm sure most of us were placed into, like, the advanced track with all the smart kids. I mean, pretty much if you're Asian, you're in it, and then you're always in the same classes with all the same people. So we were like the smart kids in school. So I think there were actually like cool nerds, because you were known for being smart, but you also like weren't picked on. You weren't outcast. Like you had your own group of friends and you're pretty much like the popular kids.
Is that what your little group of nerd friends told each other?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
No. I mean, so I think I probably started out as a nerd, but I mean, it didn't come with like all the ridicule or all the like hazing. I didn't get any of that. But then once I got to college, I think I probably adopted a lot more like geek qualities, because I'm pretty sure a third of my freshman year in college was devoted to Counter-Strike.
That's just being Korean.
But yeah, I started to shift over a little bit.
Okay. What is the nerdiest thing you've ever done or geekiest thing you've ever done?
Was this
played magic?
Anybody? Just anybody.
Played magic. For sure.
Yeah, I used to do like role playing games a lot, like Dungeons and Dragons and Robotech and stuff.
Oh yeah.
I think like, for me is when I used to collect comic books.
Really, I don't think that's that. I don't think that's that bad.
Well, I used to collect comic books. I used to spend $40 a week on comic books.
How old were you?
I was in high school. So
that's a lot back then.
I was
baller. That's a lot back then.
I was working, and then everything I made went into either buying CDs, like no name rapper CDs, or comic books, and I did that for about 2 years or a year, I don't know, for a while until I realized I'm just wasting my money.
Do you still have them today?
Yeah, I have like 8 really large boxes full of comic books. All sorts of, and I'm sure it'll be worth something eventually, but right now I don't think they're worth too much.
I've been to many Star Trek conventions.
Oh my god.
You actually go? I didn't know you went to those.
I went to my first Star Trek convention when I was in high school. And not only did I just go for a day, I got a hotel room and I stayed for the weekend.
Where was it at?
It was in Denver. It was called Starfest. And That is like that line that I just couldn't bring myself to cross.
Did you think it was cool when people dressed up, though?
Did I think it was cool?
Yeah, when other people dressed up.
You know what? I would actually clown on a lot of people that dressed up.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just can't go that far. I mean, I remember the lineups of pretty much, like, all the celebrity guests of pretty much almost every Star Trek convention I've been to.
So you're a snotty Trekkie. You thought you were better than other Trekkies.
No, I didn't think that. I just didn't want to dress up.
Yeah, you thought they were kind of too much.
I didn't have.
So, did you go when they were still called Trekkies, or after they converted to, like, say, Trekkers?
Oh, I went when they were still called Trekkies, and
they're called Truckers now.
No, Trekkers.
Yeah, Trekkies is a derogatory.
Yeah, I went during the. I became a Trekkie during the height of the Next Generation. This is how big of a Trekkie I was. I got credited in a book of Star Trek continuity errors for the Next Generation.
That's pretty awesome.
Because, and there's this episode called I, Borg, where the Enterprise, they capture this Borg named Hugh, right? And they, you know, he becomes self-aware, and it plays on later in the plot point of Star Trek. But I think it was third or fourth season when that came out, and so what happened was is all the uniforms switched from zip-up front to zip-up back, right? And then later on they became seamless, but the security personnel in the cell that had Hugh clearly had second season uniforms on because they were zip up in the front when everybody else had zip up in the back uniforms.
And you caught this and sent it in?
Yes.
How'd you find that? Like, how'd you notice that?
It was like a pink elephant walked across the TV screen. That's how bad it was.
Jeez.
Yeah, I was like, oh, continuity error.
Sorry.
And then when you find that, how do you know who to write to?
Thankfully, the official Star Trek and Star Wars fan club at the time were located in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
So it was, it's this guy, he's actually a little person. He was the president of both of those. Pretty cool. So I used to hang out with those guys.
Can you name the original 9 regular crew of the USS Enterprise?
From the original season? I'm not a big original season person, but I probably could.
Okay, how about Next Generation? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Can you name
the credited or what is now deemed to be the original crew?
The Star Trek, The Next Generation, their character names.
Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Okay.
Commander William T. Riker.
Okay.
Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, and actually it's funny because in the first season he was a helmsman and then he became an engineer, so at first he was a red shirt, then he became the beige colored shirt.
Okay, anyways. Next.
Security Officer Tasha Yar.
Lieutenant Worf. Okay.
I thought Worf was a security officer.
He wasn't the security officer at first.
Oh yeah?
No, Tasha Yar was in charge because she was a weapons officer.
Oh.
And then there's Lieutenant Commander Data.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Beverly Crusher.
Uh-huh.
That's seven.
I think you're missing three. Or two or three. Commander, and then Lieutenant Commander, and Acting Ensign.
Well, no. Acting Ensign Wesley Crusher wasn't an original crew member when the series first started.
Okay. How about the other two? There's Lieutenant Commander or Commander, and then there's a Commander that's missing.
Dr. Beverly Crusher already mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Wait, so this is all on the ship?
No, because Lieutenant Commander, like, there isn't anybody else that's the main character.
All right. Well, I'm looking at Wikipedia, and then I see Dr. Catherine Pulaski.
She traded off between her and Dr. Crusher, but they picked up Dr. Crusher at Farpoint Station in the beginning. So.
And Deanna Troi.
Counselor Troi. She's not really in Starfleet, though.
All right. I believe that you're an ultimate tricky nerd. I can't even name, like, two, so...
She's half Beta Zed.
Who do you think was hotter, Troi or Crusher?
I always liked Ensign Ro Laren.
Who's that? Which one's that one?
Michelle Forbes. She had the weird, funny nose thing. She was Bajoran.
Oh.
Okay.
But she came like later, though.
Yeah, that was a lot later. And we should stop talking about Star Trek, because now I'm embarrassed.
I like TNG. Well,
now you're embarrassed.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in the continuity error thing. Do you notice that when you watch, like, just any random old movie?
Ask him about Transformers, too.
The Transformers?
He was pointing stuff out, like, left
or
right.
Transformers TV or the cartoon or the movie?
No, the second movie.
Oh, the second movie. Eh.
I had a lot of problems with Transformers, too, but not as many problems as I had with G.I. Joe.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of. G.I. Joe.
Yeah, G.I. Joe's horrible. Anyway, moving on to other nerdy things.
All right. Let me ask a Street Fighter question to Jeff.
Okay.
Can you name off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
9, 10, 11, 12? Well, no. There were only 8 original World Warriors.
2, 4,
from the first
6,
one?
8,
10, no, not Street Fighter 1.
Oh, Street Fighter 2, Jeff. Can you name off 12 characters from Street Fighter 2 series?
Yeah. Ken, Ryu, Awesome, Zangief, Honda, Blanca, Guile, Vega, Balrog, M. Bison, Saget, Chun-Li.
Oh.
But that's not the kind of stuff I know for Street Fighter. It's more like if you ask me what's it like Alpha 2 or Alpha 3 or whatever, and I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah.
The stuff I study is Ryu's crouching jab comes out in 3 frames, whereas Ken's crouching forward comes out in 8 frames. So if you did both moves at the same time, Ryu's crouching jab would win. That's the kind of stuff that I actually look up.
Wow, you're a geek, dude.
Holy crap.
What's the deal with the tier system? Because I know Saget and Ken are considered tier 3 characters, tier 1 characters?
Oh, okay. Well, that changes every month. What happens is they ask all the top Japanese players their characters, how they feel like it stacks up to others. Like, if they play 10 matches, how many times would their characters win, basically? So like, a good matchup between any two characters would be 5, because it's like 50% chance. Basically, it's an even match. And then they do this every month, and it kind of shifts a little bit, but ever since Street Fighter 4 came out, Saget has been number one the entire time, because he's just that powerful. There's some characters who can only win, like, we're assuming 2 pros playing, they can only win against Saget maybe like 3 times out of 10, no matter how hard they're trying. That's why he's number one, because he has those matchups where other characters don't.
What makes him so much stronger?
Yeah, is that the tiger knee? He's kind of like Ryu and Ken, except...
What makes him so strong is that his moves take off a lot of life, and at the same time, he has more life to begin with. like the game, in the game, everyone starts off with a certain amount of hit points. And then, like, only Sagat and Zangief have more hit points than everyone else. And Zangief, it makes sense because he's a huge guy, but Sagat does too. Everyone else has less life.
And Zangief doesn't have any projectiles and he's really slow. Right?
Well, yeah, Zangief, he's not ranked as high because even though he could go toe to toe with the majority of the cast, versus some characters, he has a really hard time. Like we're talking about like 9-1 disadvantage. Mm. Like Seth. Like Zangief versus Seth. He has like no chance.
Seth is a pretty cheap character though.
Yeah, he is. He is. But even cheaper for Zangief because he can't. What if the Seth is good at zoning, the Zangief can't get in no matter what he tries, basically. And Zangief needs to get in to deal damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a little aside, but I do this, and I'm wondering if other people do that. You know how restaurants have the Zagat survey sticker?
Mm-hmm.
I always see it as the Sagat survey, and I think tiger in my head whenever I see it.
Well, I always imagine like Sagat eating at those restaurants and him rating it every time I see that.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah, like if it would actually, be like tiger. I actually approved. Read that as Sagat as well.
Okay, we're all nerds.
Yeah. So, but then I think like Sagat was originally M. Bison. So it could be either.
Yeah, like no. M. Bison was Balrog, right?
M. Bison was the boxer.
Yeah. Well,
this is another thing. Like when true Street Fighter nerds talk about these characters, because there's these discrepancies between who's M. Bison, who's Vega, whatever, depending on where you're from, basically, they call them Claw, Dictator, and Boxer. So if you're talking to someone who talks about Street Fighter strategy, you would be like, okay, so last week I was playing a Claw, and he was doing all these dive claws, and then you know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay, let's move on to... let's rank these nerdy behaviors. Tabletop role-playing games.
Oh, yeah.
That is 10.
What?
Are we ranking
1 to 10, right?
1 to 10, right?
Well, no, like how would you rank? Okay, I'll introduce the first one, and then we'll rank them from there.
Okay.
So, tabletop role-playing games. This is like Dungeons & Dragons, Palladium games, Shadowrun. It's pretty nerdy.
I think it's probably up there as one of the most nerdiest thing you can do. Right now, that's what's happening in my work right now. We hired this guy who created the game of Magic. So every day after work, my coworkers, they lock themselves into one of the conference rooms and they're playing Magic till like wee hours of the night. And I'm just like, this brings back my memories of my friends in high school that played Dungeons and Dragons. They draw their own map on a piece of paper. And I always thought that was like the most nerdiest thing, like activity there ever was.
I don't know. I like really appreciate anybody who's really into anything.
Uh-huh.
And like, even though I see it as like super, super nerdy, I like that they're into it though.
I'm the same way, for sure.
Okay. Video games, more nerdy or less nerdy than tabletop role-playing games?
Way less. But it still depends on what genre you're playing, I think.
True.
Okay, out of all of those, which is the nerdiest? I think it's the dudes that play like Persona and other JRPGs.
I think JRPGs are absolutely the nerdiest. Not to say they're bad games, it's just nerdier.
Give me an example of a game. JRPG.
Final Fantasy.
Oh, that was... Okay.
But yeah, Persona would be even worse than Final Fantasy because it's well known. But then you know what? There are those computer games that are like worse, I think. But like I'm trying to think of something right now. You guys know what Master of Orion is?
No.
Okay. Yeah. It's like those turn-based strategy games they have on the computer.
Uh-huh.
That's basically like a tabletop role-playing game, but computerized. I think that's the very
holy cow.
Yeah.
Okay. Comic books.
Somewhere in between.
Yeah.
In between.
In between.
But but more towards video games.
You think it's just because it became like they're more pop culture-y? That's what makes it less nerdy?
It became a lot more mainstream, so people started like trying to research who their favorite character is from the movies that they watched.
I think comic book, reading comic book and maybe even collecting, it's something that you could have a normal social life and have normal circle of friends that are not geeks, and you could still do. But the activity like those, like board games, the people that you associate with are pretty much your only friends that you play these games with. I think that's what makes them like extra ultra nerdy. Like comic book and video games, like you could do whatever. You could have regular social life and you could always do these on the side. But like people that play Magic and Dungeons and Dragons, pretty much people you play these games with are your friends. And I think that's
well, like what about games like World of Warcraft? We'll like really get into that too.
Yeah, but I mean that's still video games and I think, you know,
I don't know. World of Warcraft is pushing it.
Yeah.
Because like, people like lost their jobs and stuff because they were playing that too much.
Yeah. I know my friend, Chris. He was into it for a while and he was spending at least good 4 hours a day, every day. And I think one of the New Year's resolution he made this year was to play less World of Warcraft.
Live action role playing.
Oh my god! Oh. I think that is the at the top.
Wait, where do we put tabletop at 10 as being the nerdiest?
Tabletop was
well, it's just number one right now. I think.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that just moved down a couple because of this one.
Yeah, I think this is the worst.
LARP,
like
yes,
when people actually like a live action role playing game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really can't think of anything that's like more than that.
If anyone
there's
wants
two to... types, though, of live-action role-playing, if you guys didn't know. There's one where people dress up as, like, characters, and then they, like, cast fake spells or whatever. And there's another one, which is kind of like the... You guys seen that movie, Role Models?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the ending of that, where they actually try to beat each other up with, like, foam swords and...
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you get hit in the arm, you can't use that arm anymore. That type of stuff.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's one kind that's actually somewhat physical, and then another one where they don't do anything but stand around and just pretend to be the character.
Okay, one of the oldest videos on the internet is that one where LARPers playing, and then one guy was kept on yelling "lightning bolt, lightning bolt."
Yeah,
right.
Is that more right. on the physical
like I'm
side?
Saying, that would be worse than the role model one.
I don't know. With him throwing the arrows, is that like the spells, or is that like the physical part? What is that?
That's the spells.
I think that's a spell.
And then there's usually a referee there that calculates hit points. If you want to check out two really good documentaries on LARP, live action role playing, there's one called Darkon, which is what Role Models is based on, and then mm-hmm. there's this new one called Monster Camp, and both I think are on Netflix free streaming, and. Monster Camp is like this huge game, like out in the Northeast. And I think, like, if you pay like $20, you can be like a monster. And if you pay like $60, you're like an actual character. And it goes on for like a week or something ridiculous. So, yeah, but what about where would you classify airsoft if you're familiar with that?
Paintball?
No, airsoft, not paintball.
Airsoft. I don't know what that is.
Oh, you're lucky.
It's a cruel mistress.
Do you know about airsoft much?
I know about airsoft. It's just like paintball, but with airsoft guns, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's a little bit better than the tabletop role-playing game and the and the LARPing. I think it's better.
Why, though? Is it because it's guns?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Guns are cool. Guns are cool. Magic spells and there's not as cool. Yeah,
it's just paintballing, outdoor paintballing, right?
Paintballing is like jock sport compared to airsoft, though.
What do you mean?
Have you like people that play airsoft? Some people that play airsoft spend thousands of dollars on actual military equipment. Like, they have, like, well, first of all, they buy a $1,000 airsoft gun, and they put a holographic sight on it that costs, like, $500, which, and this holographic sight is something that the actual military uses.
Yeah, but it's, like, made for, like, shooting things in, like, far distances. Way further than what the airsoft BBs can do.
Well, not the EOTech.
No.
How much is an airsoft gun normally?
Anywhere between, like, $150 for, like, a standard one to...
$1,000 for the PTW?
Yeah.
And that's where Joe and I give ourselves away as airsoft geeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for airsoft, and doesn't look any different than my, you know, some of the outdoor paintballing that I've been to with my friends, where we were... camouflage gears and then roll around in dirt and hide behind bunkers and stuff.
Yeah, that's like the facade of airsoft. When you start getting into it, when you start talking to the people and you ask them to differentiate if it's a sport or if it's a game, that's where you start like seeing where the nerdiness of it comes in or like the geekiness.
How do you keep score while you're playing?
Right now it's an honor system. They do have marking airsoft pellets, but mostly it's based on the honor system for the time being.
Yep.
Okay.
It kind of sucks when you get hit with an airsoft BB because it hurts and it stings. And usually if somebody shot you and if you don't call yourself out, they're still in position to shoot you some more.
I see.
So you want to say that you're out because you're just going to keep on getting pelted and it sucks.
So you can actually feel it still, even with all the gear on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it hella hurts, dude. You always end up coming home with a bunch of welts.
That's not bad, then. Yeah. Your respect level is rising.
I'm gonna post this link and this photo. I want you to look at this photo.
Is it Lunchbox?
No.
Oh.
I'm only here to shame myself.
Is this you, Mike?
That is me at an airsoft game.
You know, this is not that far from a couple of paintballing games that I've been to with my friends, where one of my friends actually emerged himself underwater and came up and started firing.
Hey, that picture is cool as hell. I respect level rising even more.
Oh, I have some airsoft pictures that you would bring back down.
Yeah, Joe and I have taken some bad airsoft photos.
So you're telling me that some people buy like an actual military suit, like a camouflage suit.
Mm-hmm. I think most people do. Because if you're going to be on a team, yeah, you have to.
Yeah, okay. That's actually my suit.
So they don't sell like watered down versions of the suit for airsoft enthusiasts?
No.
Okay, I see. All right.
They
makes
don't,
sense
like,
to me.
People, like, I mean, they... Like, there's companies, because they know how much the actual stuff costs, they make really, really good replicas that are a lot more affordable to the average player. But, like, it's not unusual to see people, like, spend $500 for a tactical vest.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I'm not as hardcore as you guys, but I do own a camouflage gear that I bought, you know, at a secondhand store. And I do have waterproof, like, rubber boots to wear in the rain and stuff. So, it's super fun. You should try it, Jeff.
It looks fun. I'm a believer.
The easy way to explain it is live-action Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
But that's what it looks like to me. That's
But then the downside is, like, dealing with the people who take it too far.
I think there's people like that in anything you do, though. Like, any nerdy thing you do.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to show you a picture of a friend of mine. She plays airsoft, and I will show you how nerdy it got.
I'm so looking for...
But, after we... So this is my friend. She plays airsoft out in Arizona.
What the f... Sounds like
that's... How are you finding these so fast?
Well, that's a personal photo of mine.
Wait, where did she get the Humvee?
They bring Humvees. At airsoft events, people have rappelled from helicopters.
What?
Yeah, it gets really hardcore. Depends on what, if it's like a sanctioned game or not. Like, some people just like, go out and rent like all these like hardcore gear and like actually rent military trucks that are decommissioned to do like some events.
You know what? The more I think about it, the less nerdy this actually is. It just happens that the guns are only shooting like BBs. That's why it's nerdy. But if they could somehow invent a game where they can use live ammo, but you wouldn't get hurt, would you guys switch over?
They've got that. It's called Simunition, and it still hurts. And it's really expensive. It's prohibitively expensive.
But that would be like the Holy Grail, right? Like,
yeah.
As closest to the realest thing as possible. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, look, check this out. This was my loadout before. When every time I'd go to an airsoft game, this is what I would carry around. I cut all the foam out, too.
Oh, that's cool. A lot of professional internet poker players, they travel, right? And they want to play poker on the road or whatever, but they don't. A laptop is usually not enough, so they have these same kind of containers that they carry with them, and it looks all professional and hardcore and stuff. But when I open it up, it's like 2 30-inch monitors inside, and they pull it out and then they end up in the hotel room. So I mean, I think it's the same
type of
importance.
Let's get into some nerd, some major debates. Star Wars versus Star Trek. Which side do you fall on and why?
I like Star Trek more.
I don't fall on either side, but I used to think Star Wars was less nerdy than Star Trek just because Star Trek was a TV series and it seems like a really low budget.
Yeah, it was really campy.
Yeah, and for someone to be really hardcore about that seems more nerdy to me. Until I saw the new Star Trek movie. So, you know, either case, if you are either Trekkie or Star Wars nerd, I think you are in the same camp. But I used to think Star Trek used to be nerdier. What do you think?
What about like the new Battlestar Galactica people? Like, there's people who are really getting into that right now. Does that fall into like the new Star Trek for people?
You know, Star Trek and Star Wars are. I think Star Trek is nerdier because Star Wars is still based on myth. You know, Star Wars is definitely based on myth, classic myth and legend stories and stuff like that. And Star Trek is definitely more like, I don't want to say intellectual, but it's pretty much what it is. I mean, you know, Star Wars is kind of Star Trek offer. It's more like democratic, I want to say, like because it offers a very populist view of like where like the people in Starfleet are apparently the best and brightest, you know, but there's still a lot of human flaws. And Star Wars is more kind of more rough and tumble, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I like Star Wars less the more I realize that, like, Luke Skywalker is a redneck. He's a redneck. I mean, he lives on a farm in the middle of nowhere. A dirt farm. Okay? He has broken droid shit in his front yard. He enjoyed making out with his sister.
Really?
He was happy about kissing Leia in Enterprise.
Luke Skywalker, you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then
he didn't know she was his sister, though.
Yeah, doesn't matter. And like, how
you can't hold that against them, can you?
How redneck is having to live with your aunt and uncle because your dad killed your mom?
Yeah, I mean, I know that his uncle did seem kind of white trashy. But I don't know, that makes it more, I don't know. What were you saying about Star Wars? They're more
myth and legend. I mean, that's just how they started it. Jeff, Star Trek, Star Wars?
To be honest, I don't really follow either too much. But from what I see, Star Wars only seems less nerdy because there seems to be more action. Star Trek, there's more
talking.
Well, not exactly talking, but some episodes they solve their problems in different ways. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And in Star Wars, it's always about busting out the lightsaber and having like a confrontation of some kind. And that makes Star Trek a little nerdier. But I honestly haven't watched enough of either one to know.
Did you watch the new Star Trek movie?
I did. I enjoyed it. Yes, I liked it a lot. I think it's just a well-made movie. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
I felt that it's one of the funnest movies in over the summer that I watched. And it was one of the funnest movies over the summer.
Oh, for sure.
Like, yeah, throughout the whole movie, I was just like having a good time watching it, you know? And that's something that wasn't happening with the original Star Treks that I used to watch. It was a lot more thinking about what their politics was, how they're trying to explain like all the technology that they're doing. This one was pretty time travel, like freaking J.J. Abrams freaking kicked ass on, screwing over what everybody else had thought.
That's what I was saying, though. Like, Star Trek is just a better made movie. I mean, it doesn't really tell us which one's nerdier, and you know?
Yeah.
I think all these are in the same level of nerdiness, especially like Star Wars, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter. You know, every time
No.
Every time people take
shut
one of these,
shut your whore mouth about Harry Potter.
Every time people take something they see on the screen and then they dress up and like, you
Harry
know,
Potter is magical and wonderful.
Harry Potter sucks donkey balls, dude.
Bah. Potter is awesome. It's not like all sparkly vampire like Twilight.
I think they're all in the same class, dude.
Okay. Next one. What is better, Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Marvel's better.
I like DC's stuff.
What heroes does DC have?
I've always liked the Flash. He's always been my favorite character ever.
DC have a equivalent of Flash?
Oh, you mean Marvel?
Oh, Marvel, I mean, yeah.
You mean Quicksilver?
Quicksilver, and then there's another guy named...
Speedball?
I think there's also
going to be... Yeah, but they're not as fast as the Flash.
No, they might be as fast.
Yeah, but Flash isn't as gay as Quicksilver.
He definitely isn't.
No. Quicksilver's pretty
cool. DC has Batman. That's pretty cool, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing... I choose Marvel because, I mean, I think DC characters are iconic superheroes. But, I mean, they're too perfect, you know? Like, it's too, like... I like Marvel because they're more based in reality, per se. You know, what? Like, Superman is always going to be the Boy Scout. You know, and he lives in a pretend city. There's a lot of pretend cities in DC.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they're more like archetypes for heroes, as opposed to, I think Marvel has a better stable of heroes, and I think it's also mainly because Jack Kirby and Stan Lee made better heroes during the 60s and the 70s, whereas DC hasn't really made better heroes, you know, like the X-Men.
Well, I know Stan Lee wanted to make characters that more people can relate to.
Yeah.
And so they won't be so far-fetched from what people can attain, like Superman, you know?
Yeah, I think what Michael said, it hit nail on the head, which is that Marvel has more everyday heroes, everyman's heroes, and DC's more ideal heroes, you know? Like Superman is, like, too perfect. It's like he can't do anything wrong, you know? He doesn't have anything... ounce of evil in him versus Marvel heroes. Most of the Marvel heroes have some kind of flaws or problems or something, you know, that that's more like everybody else out there.
Peter Parker is insecure. Tony Stark is an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest thing that DC probably has his Superman as Captain America, but Captain America isn't all powerful. He's just at the peak of human ability.
Yeah. Actually, even though I do really like Green Lantern in DC World, he's one of my favorite DC World characters. Green Lantern.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I really wanted to have like a ring like that, but like all the techniques that he used to like smash stuff was always really uncreative to me.
Kind of lame, huh? He could have used to conjure a much powerful stuff than like giant hammer.
Yeah, or like a big fist to like punch something, and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Kind of like Wonder Twins, you know?
Wonder Twins were kind of lame.
Like, you could turn into
anything. Like, you had like remnants of like 60s superhero like stories. Like Robin was kind of like, they wouldn't write Robin now if they could start all over again, you know? It's too gay.
Robin is too gay? Yeah, I would have to agree.
Because it really makes Batman look like a pedophile. Like, toting him around in, like, tights and stuff. It wouldn't fit with, like, the new Batman series they're making right now.
Dude, have you seen the new villain in the Batman comic book? The new Batman and Robin comic book?
No.
He's called the Flamingo.
Oh, yeah.
I showed you a picture of him.
Oh, yeah. That sucks.
He looks like Prince, but pink. Prince from Purple Rain.
Huh. Yeah, on a motorcycle?
Yeah.
You know, I used to think the most gayest character in DC comic world was Aquaman until they made him really dark. Like, they cut off one of his hands and, like, put a hook on it. And then he got, like, really, really dark. He has, like, long, messed up hair. Before, he used to be this...
I really liked watching Justice League, the cartoon. Like, I still watch that maybe once every other year, the whole season.
Oh, yeah. That's really well made. Story's really well written.
I think it's from that spawned my, like for DC.
Yeah, I mean, the DC...
I think that's a problem with the DC heroes, is when you watch or when you read something like that, I always just feel like The Flash could easily save the day with his powers. He never does it. He has, like, thousands of ways to stop anything.
Yeah.
Flash.
Just like Green Lantern.
Yeah, just like him too, yeah. Isn't that thing powered by his imagination or something?
Yep. If anything, Green Lantern is probably the most powerful character in DC world, I think.
Yeah.
It's even more powerful than Superman.
This brings up an ancillary question that I have about the DC universe. Would having sex with Superman kill Lois Lane?
I don't think so.
I think so.
How will he control his power?
I think the minute he ejaculates, it rips through her like 357 slugs.
Mental pictures just made me like laugh.
I guess he just had to withdraw.
Yeah, but like, where does he point it? I mean, like, he's gonna. I mean,
he can catch it himself.
Yeah, he could.
It's true.
But no, seriously.
And definitely, I'm sure Lois Lane would have to be on top. Because she would have to do all the work. He would just have to just lie there.
Yeah, what? I don't think Superman can be
because if he was on top and he got a little too excited, you know, and did it a little too hard.
Crack her pelvis.
Yeah. So he would just have to just lie there.
She would need to have like kryptonite like around just to balance stuff out.
Kryptonite condom?
Well, yeah. Maybe like more like a kryptonite IUD. I don't know. Would a kryptonite condom make Superman go limp?
I think it would.
It would kill his sperm though, right?
Well, maybe it would make his sperm really weak. And maybe her uterus would only get bruised.
I know. Superman would have to like go with someone like... Claire from Heroes, so she can like heal and regenerate.
Yeah, but Claire could never take it in the mouth because that would like lop off her head, and that's how she dies.
Okay, you know what's the stupidest thing they ever did in DC Comics is the super pets. you know?
I remember that now. Holy shit, yeah, that was stupid as hell.
Crypto, the Super Dog, and the Wonder Dog, and Gleek, the monkey, and...
like that's, like, old as hell, too, though.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of these pets, right?
It was the 60s. It was the 70s, dude.
I know, but I mean, I'm sure people in the 70s have some common sense.
No, I think the Comics Code really prevented them from doing a lot of stuff. And then when they went away from it, the stories got better. Best fighting video game of all time. Tekken or Street Fighter?
Street Fighter.
I'm assuming a lot more people are into Street Fighter, but I like Tekken more.
Or Virtua Fighter.
I never liked that. I don't know. I don't even know why they made so many sequels.
It's so technical.
I don't know. I kind of like Virtua Fighter. I think I might even like Virtua Fighter more than Tekken.
I couldn't figure out any of the controls. It wasn't intuitive for me.
I always liked that drunken master guy in Virtua Fighter.
Oh, he was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say Tekken, only because they had Korean dudes.
But Street Fighter's coming out with a Korean girl.
I know.
Yeah.
SNK had a Korean girl, a Korean dude. But SNK kind of sucks, though.
Yeah, it's not very popular.
All right, best fighter game of all time.
Well, the best fighting game of all time, not my personal opinion, but you know how people say StarCraft is the best RTS of all time?
Yeah.
So, fighting game fans, for them, the best fighting game of all time is Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. Basically, you guys know HD Remix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The original, before the remix. That's considered the best fighting game of all time. And, like, people still play it, like, competitively today. And it's been, like, 12, 13 years. I don't necessarily agree with it, but that's the general consensus.
So, at Evo, do they still have...
They still play that game. But they play HD Remix now in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
But... it's just like an updated version, basically.
Is all the frames the same? Like all the hit timings and all that stuff, is it the same?
Yeah. Most of it's the same. There's like some minor changes, but for the better most of the time. And then the Japanese version of Evo, which they called Super Battle Opera, SBO, you guys can look that up on the internet if you want.
What? Yeah, like, clip. They call it what now?
They call the Japanese version of Evo, basically the biggest fighting game tournament of the year, is called Super Battle Opera.
Why and that?
It's a Japanese thing. I don't know.
It's a cool name.
Called Super Battle Opera. But then their main game every year is still Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. That's the one that draws. Well, now this year Street Fighter 4 drew bigger crowds and more players, but until this year it was all Super Turbo.
How big was Street Fighter 3? Did it ever become like as popular as 2 Turbo?
Not so much, because the game system was really convoluted, and there's just a lot of things for a casual player to try to get into. So a lot of people that I know, and myself personally, once Street Fighter 3 came out, we just stopped playing. And I think that happened with a lot of people too. But then that's why they went like back to basics.
Yeah, like the illustrations and the characters I really liked in 3. I just never got to play it that much. It never came out on a PlayStation.
It did like very late in...
Yeah, because I had it for my PS2.
Oh.
It was still better than that 3D fighter that Street Fighter came. Street Fighter EX.
Oh yeah, that was horrible.
I don't know. The bowling alleys.
I kind of liked that those Super Street Fighter Turbo graphics more so than the new Street Fighter 4. I liked it when it was more cartoony. Now they're trying to make it all too painterly 3D ish. I feel like
The Japanese, they banned, they kind of banned HDR, HD Remix over there because they feel like it's like American artists trying to draw anime style.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
And then they think the characters look really ugly, so they absolutely refuse to play that game there.
Really?
Good for them.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I thought the previous characters, the way they were drawn and stuff, it was just right on. And I didn't think they should have messed with their look. And I was really disappointed when the new one came out and just looked all, you know, I don't mind the more depth details and more painterly style, but I just didn't like how the characters looked.
Is that why all the Japanese games are coming out with fat American fighters? Is because they're upset with us?
Could be. That is a trend, though. You're talking about, like, Bob and Rufus and...
Yeah.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Bob. He's, like, one of my better characters, though.
He is good. He is a good character. I haven't gotten into Six too much yet, but... Yeah. So far, I heard a lot about him.
I don't know. One of my favorite games is Marvel vs. Capcom.
I still think that's kind of a button masher game.
Really? I just like having all the variety of characters to choose from, especially Marvel characters, because I'm such a Marvel fan.
How many characters are in that game?
64?
Holy
bunch.
Shit.
A bunch.
It's 50-some.
Yeah. It has some really cool characters, man. It had Juggernaut and Omega Red.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but some of them are just like sprite swaps, like War Machine and Iron Man.
Yeah.
And like half the cast isn't developed well. Like they're barely usable in any.
Yeah, because half the Capcom cast is absolutely garbage.
Yeah.
Like they're there for just novelty, like that weird pirate girl or Jill Valentine. I mean, like I like the concept of using Jill Valentine, but she's garbage fighter.
Yeah.
Pirate girl.
Yeah, there's a weird pirate girl.
Is that the girl with the multiple arms, like six arms? I think her name is Sprite.
There's Spiral. Spiral is, I think that's her name.
Ooh, Spiral.
That's a Marvel character, though.
Yeah, Spiral from Longshot Comics.
Why do you think DC versus Mortal Kombat flopped so bad?
Because it was made by Midway Games, and they kind of been half-assing their stuff.
Yeah.
The man speaks the truth.
I really wanted to like that game, but then when I saw like videos of it, it just kept on getting worse and worse to me.
Yeah, I mean the whole reason that game even got made was because I think somebody at Warner Brothers DC in licensing owed the guy from Midway a favor, and so that's how that game got made.
It's a huge favor to like flop.
Well, I mean, like there's a lot of franchises like mixed licensing franchises that happened like not because it was intentional, just because of like circumstance, like Kingdom Hearts, that came because Final Fantasy and Disney Interactive used to share have studios in the same building. Mm-hmm. And the employees would share elevator rides and they would always talk about making a game together, and then somebody was like, yeah, let's do this, and that ended up pretty good for them.
To this day, I'm really disappointed that they haven't made Marvel vs. DC. That would be such a good game.
I don't think they could ever do that.
Why?
Like with characters like Superman in there.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, they made it work with Mortal Kombat, so they could make it work. It's just
yeah, but I mean, the Mortal Kombat explanation was some bullshit magic.
Yeah.
That means Harry Potter could come in and kick everybody's ass. And rightfully so, Key.
Whatever, man.
Defeated Voldemort.
But I'm sure, you know.
Hey, don't spoil the movie for me.
I'm sure Marvel could come up with a character that's equivalent to Superman, or you know that could. I bet Magneto could fight Superman. So I don't think it has anything to do with like Marvel characters being too powerful, or they can't find equivalent of one another. I think it's all politics.
Studios have too much ego to let their heroes get beat up.
Yeah, but then, you know, getting beat up depends on who's playing it. All right?
Yeah, but still, I mean, like...
I bet there would be a big, number of people that would love to play that.
Yeah, but, like, I'm still of the opinion that, like, Superman can, like, rarely get beat up by anybody.
Hmm.
And I think DC will feel the same way. Like, let's say in a game you have, I don't know, Psylocke, and then you pick her against Superman, and if she's having this even fight with Superman, I think DC would see the game and be like, how is this possible?
Yeah, she has psionic knives. What the fuck?
Why is he losing?
Yeah, but
and then they're gonna start tweaking shit, and then sooner or later the game's gonna be lopsided.
Well, but I think you could go the other way too, though. I mean, you could have Juggernaut fighting Aquaman. You know, they're gonna have to somehow balance the game out so that it's you know, there's advantage somewhere else, where maybe not in strength, but maybe in speed or.
Well, okay, let's take a look at something more equal, like Namor versus Aquaman.
Okay.
I think Namor comes out on top.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, but it's not like, you know, any of these games, right? It's not like just because you have a character that's really strong and big, you automatically beat up on, like, other guy. Look at, like, Zangief versus Dhalsim, right? Dhalsim's just skinny rubber Indian guy, and Zangief is this big buff Russian guy. But they're kind of equal in some ways, in a lot of ways. So I think they could make it work. I think it's all something about politics. Like, DC doesn't want to do stuff with Marvel for some reason.
What about Thor versus Superman?
Yeah, that would be fine. I don't have a problem with that. Or even Thanos versus Superman. I mean, Marvel has plenty of characters that could fight Superman. You know?
Well, who do you think would win?
Oh, in what? Superman versus...
Thor.
Superman.
I mean, really?
Yeah, Superman. Joe?
Yeah, we had this discussion once with my group of friends, and we decided that the only Marvel character who has a chance against Superman is the Hulk.
Yep, I agree.
But they fought too, though.
Oh, they did.
There was a crossover comic with that.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Molecule Man.
And Hulk was doing pretty well as long as Superman wasn't expecting it.
But Batman does pretty well when Superman's not expecting it to.
Well, that's because Bruce Wayne is a sneaky ass motherfucker and keeps kryptonite on him at all times.
Yeah.
Batman is such a lame character.
What?
I mean,
oh, crazy.
Hate Batman and Harry Potter? What the hell?
Well, okay, I don't hate Batman, okay? But to be in the same universe as Superman, Batman has no chance. I mean, sure, I love his background and I love his storyline and I love the character itself. But to be on the same level as like Green Lantern and Superman, no way, dude.
I think every day Batman thinks about how he would kill those two guys if he had to. And I think he has these plans laid out in his lair if he had to. So he's not unprepared.
You know, I mean, just having Batman in the same, team is kind of like, you know, you have professional football team, I don't know, New England Patriots, and they decide to let this kid from high school, who's a water boy, join their team.
Yeah, but Batman's
Yeah, but the
smartest.
Water boy is the one that has all the plans.
Yeah, he's the smartest one in the DC universe. And him and Ra's al Ghul are easily the smartest comic book characters ever.
Who the hell is Ra's al Ghul?
Ra's al Ghul,
Nabi from the first Batman.
Yeah, he's Superman's ex father-in-law, sort of.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's the one that came back to the Lazarus Pits, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He said Damian's, Robin's grandfather.
Yeah, I'm not really hip on the up to date.
Okay.
DC. Yeah, he's one of the immortal guys.
Okay, let's wrap this up. Let's talk about, before we go, nerdiest moment you've ever had. Like, pure nerd moment. Go.
Ooh.
Oh, man, I wasn't prepared for this one.
Yeah, I wasn't either.
But my friends always like to make fun of me every time I try to graph and draw stuff out, like, in an outline form, so I can explain things to people. Like, if I was, someone's asking me to explain connections to computers, and that would, make a sketch of everything.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's the nerdiest moment, but then it's, in my head right now of what I do.
Okay, I have one sort of. I don't know if it's nerdy either, but maybe it was just something I did because I was a stupid little kid. When I was in fifth grade, I cut school with my friends so I could go home and play Dungeons and Dragons Treasure of Tarnan on Intellivision, and we got caught.
That's pretty bad.
Was it bad because you got caught, or is it bad because it was that game?
We feel bad because we got caught. It was stupid. We were walking to school and we hey man, let's cut school. Okay. And then we started walking back home and then we saw one of the ladies that worked at school and we ran. I don't know why. We ran. And then because we ran, she went to school and checked up on us. And then we weren't in class and we got caught. Kind of dorky.
Jeff, nerdiest moment?
Having LAN parties, I guess, is pretty nerdy.
Is it back in the day when everybody had to bring CRT monitors around, or like now it's like laptops?
Back in the day where we had to bring CRT monitors and huge towers around.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Wait. See, LAN parties where you go and you have a game that you want to play, like let's all play CS, let's all play StarCraft, whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a LAN party where you bring computers, and you network them, and you do nothing. You like Wait. Share some files, or you browse the internet together. That's the kind of
that's kind of dorky, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I totally appreciate that though. That's way before the internet.
Before you had your torrents and your YouTube, or whatever. So it's a big deal if you can get stuff off somebody. Yeah.
That is something that's so weird because, you know, as I get older, I think that I would never do that now. But I could totally see myself doing that back in the days when I was younger. And I remember my friends and I would just do nothing, just sit in the car and just BS all night. And that was like hella fun. But now it's like, I don't do that anymore.
Oh, I remember a better story that I did that was really nerdy. Hey, Mike, you remember when we had that Rockstar Video Games tournament for
Bully?
Yeah, for Bully. We spent like 3 or 4 nights in a row like war driving around Chicago with like 4 or 5 laptops in my Jeep, like trying to vote for our video to win first place.
Nice.
And then, yeah, we sent out like a lot of our friends to go to different schools and different university computer labs so they can vote on all of those computers also. And then later on, like the night before the finals, we discovered that anybody who has DSL can get a new IP address by disconnecting and reconnecting onto the internet. So we spent like the last 8 hours of the tournament just like disconnecting, reconnecting, just so we can keep on voting. Apparently somebody at MSU figured out the same thing because like the numbers have been going back up and down, battling during this IP thing.
So you cheated, and did you win?
Oh yeah, we took first place.
Oh, yeah.
But like our video was clearly better than theirs though. Like we deserved to win, but we also out-hacked them.
Out-cheated.
Yeah.
Nice. Mike?
That was pretty dirty. But that was also like one of my favorite moments in my life.
Cheating?
Yes.
Geekiest, nerdiest moment I ever had was... when I was in college and I used to be a biochem major, I had my biochem book autographed by Thomas Cech, who won a Nobel Prize in chemistry. And when I was on a trip to Seattle, I saw Bill Nye, the Science Guy, at a bar, and I lost my shit. And I had him sign my biochemistry book. So I still have my biochemistry book, and it has been autographed by a Nobel Prize winner and Bill Nye, the Science Guy. And I value the Bill Nye, the Science Guy autographed like 100 times more. Then I value the Nobel Prize winner's autograph. And I told Bill Nye this, that I'm like, dude, like, your this is so awesome. And he's like, that guy's a Nobel Prize winner. It's like, yeah, whatever. I see him every day. You're Bill Nye, the Science Guy. The Science Guy. I was drunk at the time.
Yeah,
you know, watching Bill Nye, the Science Guy, compare that to Beakman's World. I think I like Beakman's World because it was more entertaining. But I understand that Bill Nye is like eons smarter than the actor who played Beakman.
I think Bill Nye the Science Guy is also awesome because he worked on top secret projects for military defense contractors.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. I think he worked for either Lockheed or McDonnell Douglas back in the day, and he helped develop stealth fighters.
That does make him cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally understand that, like, Bill Nye is, like, way smarter than everything else, but, like, the show itself, Beakman's World?
Yeah.
I totally look forward to that, like, a lot more than Bill Nye. Okay.
I didn't even know all that about this guy.
Bill Nye is awesome. Anyway, that's all we have this week for the Nerdcast. Hopefully we haven't scared any of you off, and next week we'll come by with... we were supposed to ask June and Jeff uncomfortable, you know...
Well, yeah, I think June couple is gone. Questions.
I can come back for that.
Yeah, okay. We'll do that. Will we ask you uncomfortable questions about your personal lives?
Sweet.
Sure.
You're all like, yeah, whatever. It's like, no idea the questions we're going to ask.
If it gets too uncomfortable, I'll have June answer him. She's better at that.
Yeah, I'm sure she's more likely to answer than you.
And you never gave your pubic area?
What?
What?
This is the type of question I would ask.
Wait, what was the question I didn't hear?
Did June ever ask you to trim your pubic area?
Oh, I can answer that. We'll save it for the show, though.
Ah, okay. We'll save it for the show.
Ooh, the cliffhanger.
Da, da, da.
Good stuff.
All right, man.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Two Sticks podcast. You can always catch us on twosticks.com. And please join the forums, or you can follow our Twitter, which hasn't been updated in forever, and we apologize for that, at twitter.com/twosticks. Jeff, where can the internet find you if you want them to find you?
Well, I have an account at 26 Forums. It's versus VRSUS. You can PM me or something.
Hey, Joe, where can people find you?
My contact page on Action Booth, actionbooth.com/contact.
Yeah, Joe does some pretty cool photos. Hire him.
Okay, and I can always be found at twitter.com/MikeyCho, MikeyCho, on Twitter. Oh my god, Joe just posted up the oldest ass photo.
Jeff looks really pissed off.
Who are all those people?
Spikey, Mikey, Dorothy, me, Eugenia, Bob, and Jeff.
Bob?
Bob?
Bob Elsinger. He's Rice Dream on the boy on the boards.
Okay.
Then he switched his name to Korea Boy with the letter C.
Is this where he had Ghost Slogger for the first time?
Yeah, the first time I had Ghost Slogger with you guys.
I remember now.
Is this in the Grove?
Nah, it was like in a small bar by Old Town, I think.
Okay. By Pac-Land?
I don't remember exactly. It's like near the end of the street.
Okay.
You look really buff, Jeff.
I don't know. I was happy that day.
Okay. Anyway, on that note, since the internet cannot see the photo that we're looking at, maybe we should post it up on Two Sticks.
Yeah, maybe.
Thank you very much for listening. Catch you next week. Bye.
Good night.
Later.
The MC. Yeah. Call Big Dim. You gotta seize the day. Let's go. You see something you want, then go for it.
Go for it.
Don't think twice, go for it.
Go for it.
Don't think twice, go for it.
Go for it.
Don't leave this earth with nothing to show for it.
Nah.
I see something I want, I go for it.
Go for it.
Can't think twice, I go for it.
Go for it.
Can't think twice, I go for it.
Go for it.
Can't leave this earth with nothing to show for it.
Yo, I'm part MC, part shaman. Resurrect dead poets through the art of rhyming. A professor with extra hard assignments. Inspired by the stars' alignments. I cause defiance with bars of science. Devour my prey like the jaws of lions. In layman's terms, you lames can burn. My course only for those that came to learn the proper mechanics, how to use the linguistics. Like the X-Men, a school for the gifted. But before you can rock the crowd, I make you walk on hot coal, no socks allowed. A simple test that'll set fire to the best. I represent the IQs higher than the rest. Heard the wind whisper, sent the breeze my way. Carpe diem, yo, I gotta seize the day. Trust me, you see something you want, then go for it.
Go for it.
Don't think twice, go for it.
Go for it.
Don't think twice, go for it.
Go for it.
Don't leave this earth with nothing to show for it.
Nah.
I see something I want, I go for it.
Go for it.
Can't think twice, I go for it.
Go for it.
Can't think twice, I go for it.
Go for it.
Can't leave this earth with nothing to show for it. If opportunity was at your front door and it's so it's locked, it might walk away, so open before it knocks. I know I ain't the first to tell ya. When you don't take action, you planting a seed for failure. You can bend the rules and break the guidelines, or follow the play and sit on the sidelines. Which are you, huh? The first or the latter? Knowledge of self is a personal matter. Well, let's see, double check the facts. If money grew on trees, would you go and get an axe? Prepare for the blossom, achieve what's yours, or sit back and wait for the leaves to fall. See, only in dreams will men be free. That's the way it's been and how it always will be. I send the breeze your way. Carpe diem, yo, you gotta seize the day.
Trust me.
You see something you want, then go for it.
Go for it.
Don't think twice, go for it.
Go for it.
Don't think twice, go for it.
Go for it.
Don't leave this earth with nothing to show for it.
Nah.
I see something I want, I go for it.
Go for it.
Can't think twice, I go for it.
Go for it.
Can't think twice, I go for it.
Go for it.
Can't leave this earth with nothing to show for it.
I can show you the ropes. I can even loan you the quotes.
But if it ain't in you, why even continue?
Why?
To post like your whole style is authentic.
Nah.
I smell of fraud, the aroma is deep scented. I reinvented myself with the help of nobody else. Yeah, I did it solely for my health, not the rollie on the shelf or the six digits. The fame and fortune is highly fictitious, only exists to those with sick wishes. To achieve it, they often act a bit vicious and maliciously mislead the youth. I steer them on course cause my pen bleeds the truth. Yo fam, the alternative to the street rap, I use both hands whenever I reach out. That way, you ain't gotta look hard to see them and live by these two words.
What?
Carpe diem.
Come on.
You see something you want, then go for it.
Go for it.
Don't think twice, go for it.
Go for it.
Don't think twice, go for it.
Go for it.
Don't leave this earth with nothing to show for it.
Nah.
I see something I want, I go for it.
Go for it.
Can't think twice, I go for it.
Go for it.
Can't think twice, I go for it.
Go for it.
Can't leave this earth with nothing to show for it.
Woo.
You see something you want, then go for it.
Go for it.
Don't think twice, go for it.
Go for it.
Don't think twice, go for it.
Go for it.
Don't leave this earth with nothing to show for it.
Nah.
Something I want, I go for it.
Go for it.
Can't think twice, I go for it.
Go for it.
Can't think twice, I go for it.
Go for it.